Log Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, broadcasting from New Africa Business Association's Blog Radio here in Washington, D.C. And I'd like to introduce my co-host, Brother Aziz. Brother Aziz, go right ahead.
Yes, greetings, Brother Bilal. Greetings, and greetings to our audience.
Greetings to you, Brother Aziz, and like I said, welcome to another edition of tonight's show. And again, this is the New African Business Association. And of course, tonight we're going to continue our topic on Selma, Alabama, Black Belt Wall Street, and the bridge, Jubilee Crossing. John Lewis March, and that's going to be March the 3rd into March the 6th. We sent you out a link that you can go to, and you'll be able to have all the information. You should have all the information on the link that we sent out. If you're having a problem, if you didn't receive it, then just call the New Africa Business Association. And of course, the New Africa Business Association, that would be our website, the New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C., or you can go to our email, and that email would be nabassc@gmail.com or the New Africa Business Association @gmail.com. Again, the New Africa Business Association @gmail.com. And our website, again, is the New Africa Business Association.com. And again, we're broadcasting here live, Washington, D.C., and we're looking forward to our night, our discussion this evening. Brother Aziz, we're not going to waste any time. I see our telephones, our lines are coming in, so I am going to turn it back over to you, and you can make your comments, and then you can do hopefully a bio on our guest this evening, and then I think Dr. Stone will bring our guest on. So again, Brother Aziz.
All right. Yes, as usual, Brother. I'd like to say a few words about the political aspect of things affecting us, and again, you know, this COVID. Disease that's affecting so many people, and that there is some things out there that's available in our District of Columbia. I was informed that the mayor has turned loose something like $9 million for people to invest in Southeast Washington, businesses to go into Southeast Washington. It's a food desert over there in Southeast Washington. And the people that live over there, though they don't have access to clean grocery stores and as well as convenience stores and other things that communities need. So that's one thing that the mayor is doing there. And other than that, that's all I wanted to say politically. And I didn't want to hold the show up either, Brother Bilal. I'm honored that we're going to have Queen Mother Dolores Blakely on our show tonight, who's was the community mayor of Harlem, and she was appointed that position by Mayor Giuliani some time ago, and that she's very active in the community, and she's also an ambassador of goodwill to Africa, and she is quite a astonishing sister. But moreover, I'm going to turn it over to Director Stone, who, if she's on, and let her introduce our special guest tonight, our honored guest, and thank you.
Okay. Greetings, everyone. This is
good evening.
Director Stone, Eartha Stone, here in Texas. It's an honor, a pleasure to be on the call tonight. We first and foremost honor the Most High God and give Him reverence.
Amen.
Thank you, Elder Bilal, and and Brother Aziz for having us on tonight. I hear Queen Mother's voice, had the opportunity of meeting this amazing woman of God, Oklahoma, back when we went to Tulsa this past year, back in May. And I was just blown away with her presence. We talked briefly and have spoken several times over the phone, but no one can do an introduction of who she is but herself. No one, greater could present her to you guys tonight. Joyce Bynum Williams and I have this little thing that we often talk about when we speak of Mother Blakely, and her famous words that rung out in our ears as we were walking down Greenwood was, "Bynum, cut the check." And that was an amazing moment. That was a landmark made there. Queen Mother, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, Queen Mother can hear you. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the mic is open. If you would introduce yourself, tell everyone, and I know we have quite a few people on tonight, and I've been making phone calls, but I'm going to mute my phone. Why don't you tell them who you are, what you're doing, and if anything that we could possibly be supporting your business, your initiative, we look forward to doing that. So if you would go right ahead, please.
Yeah, first of all, I want to just thank you, dearly beloved sister Stone, and as our director Stone, Queen Mother is here. And where are we in the spirit of our ancestors? And I would just like to start in the spirit of our ancestors from a mother's energy. Mother, Father, God, I would like to just share this reflection in that spirit energy of our ancestors and our mothers in particular. Dedicated to George Floyd, "Cry for My Mother." Mama, 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 my dear, mama, mother, where are you? Can you hear me? I can't breathe. You are the closest thing to me. I cry and pray for you to hear me. Breathing out my last breath that is being choked and snatched, robbed and stolen from me. Hide me in your womb, which is eternal. Your womb that shelter me with love and pretend. A womb that allowed me to survive and live. A womb that kept, nourished, and cared for me throughout the stillborn days of my life. Mama, 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 my dear, mother, you know me. Where are you? I need you for God's sake. I hang in the balance of life or death. Mama, Ma, 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 Mama, dear, save me. I love and honor you. I can't breathe. Shield and protect me as I lay in your belly. Your divine and sacred womb. Your womb allowing me to flourish and grow. And a hiding place that is my destiny for all eternity. Oh, mama, mama, ma, 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 mother, ma, mother, I can't breathe. I call on you to surrender me to justice and peace. Oh, gentle Savior, save me. Oh, God. I just want to share that with all of you by saying Ashe, Ashe, Asheo, a reflection that Queen Mother doing a book during the COVID-19 2020 that is published and is on Amazon, and I want to just refresh and to share this reflection with you, which is one of my dear pieces, and in dedicating the book to women, daughters, girls, and an inclusion of that energy. And some would say it's the spoken word, and some would say my prayers. But I call it my reflections. As Queen Mother, in the spirit of Queen Mother Moore, who lived to be almost 100 years old, and I was with Queen Mother at her side for about 20 years as her Oshoyomi in the language of Ghana, is that one who speaks for the Queen Mother and assists her. Queen Mother was born in New Iberia, Louisiana, but lived in the village and in the city of Harlem, being called to her side for about 20 years. And only one single issue that she brought forward, and that was reparations. She said, "Chillin', go get your money. They owe you for the greatest crime ever committed against you. Honey, go get it. Don't talk about it, but go get it." She carried this for over 80 years, one single issue, and the word is reparations. So in the spirit of Queen Mother Audley Moore, go get your reparation. They owe you. Children, they owe you for this great crime committed against you. And I would just add to it of in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street memorial to our ancestors. And with President Joe Biden being in the community of Black Wall Street. And I wanted him to know, as I had put a open letter to the President of the United States, cut the check for this great crime committed against African descendants and allow African descendants economically to become strong again and be whole again. Of the 55 million displaced Africans, Queen Mother has been involved with the United Nations. This is going on my 53rd year. But something wonderful happened just before, which will be 2019, just before the shutdown of the entire world. And we became into a whirlwind, if we were speaking to one of our ancestors, the Honorable Marcus Masai Gabi. We've been in a whirlwind since 2020. But in that last deliberation and conference of vote at the United Nations, being a humanitarian, this would be my 53rd year. But up to the 50th anniversary, what a party Queen Mother enjoyed from my colleagues from member states at the United Nations. And it was such a honor that Nigeria took the lead on Queen Mother being honored in the world community of my 50th anniversary as a humanitarian at the United Nations, being in with New Future Foundation. And as I tell everyone, giving 50 years to the UN and the last 2 years going on three, which would be going to my 53rd year of being engaged with that institution, of a global institution, but advocating it for African descendants of the transatlantic ocean of the slave trade. And Queen Mother was a part of that journey. And the oldest Queen Mother, which I was in stool in a place and in a country in West Africa and on a continent called Africa, Ghana, where I was snatched in one of my travels and couldn't get out and didn't understand until Mama Rollin, the First Lady of Ghana, was allowed to give her protocol card to me to go to the Cape Coast dungeon, some say to the slave house. But after spending 3 days and three nights in the dungeons alone in the spirit of my ancestors, I can never call it a castle, but the stench that is there and then the reminder of what happened in the Cape Coast, me is the dungeons. And being engaged for the 3 days and three nights in prayer and reflection, I wrote about that experience in one of my first books. It's called The Harlem Street Nun. It's on Amazon as well. Queen Mother Blakely. And I dedicated to a man that I got to know when I was a Roman Catholic nun for 10 years. I made final vows, and nobody put me out of the church. I left on my own. So from my youth, sometimes young people tells us something that they want to do, and we may not understand where it's coming from, but if it's positive and you see it as something wholesome, but you may not totally understand it because my parents were not Catholics. They knew nothing about Catholicism. They knew about being old-time Baptist religious folks and having preachers or ministers or reverends or pastors in my family. They understood that. They understood being a doctor or a business person owning their own stores across the track, which that means you would have no interreactions or interrelationship with economics. So it's called across the track. and across the tracks in the deep south, which I grew up in Florida, Gator Girl, and then going to the swamp of lakes to visit names of my ancestors like Tobias's. I never knew where the names came from, but they were known in the community, and to this day they had to name the street after relatives of mine that was very, very active and very busy economically. That was their strength. And so as a young woman or a young girl growing up, of those who understood hard work and developing for themselves independence and do for self, self-reliance, I was exposed to as a little girl growing up. So it was expected me to do something, but not being a Roman Catholic nun, they didn't know where it came from. But one thing my dad said to me, and I will never forget, when you get tired at the age of 16, allowing me to do it, age to enter a convent in the north of New York, and I've been to New York ever since that time, you can always come home. So my dad left the door for me open that I could return home if I ever wanted to. And what a beautiful gesture of a parent giving me the option to be able to do so. And I say that in saying to other parents who may be a part of this conversation, it is important that we leave the door open for our teenagers. As I say, you may not understand sometime or what they're saying and how they're saying it to you, but if it's meant to be, they are going to do it. As we say, hell or high water, it will happen. So I had that kind of a will as a little girl growing up from what my father explained to me. And I am a father's girl. Nothing like a father rearing a daughter and giving her the ground rules of life relating to the male child that would be in her future life, the do's and don'ts when he's not around as a father. And I will never forget that of my dad. And in saying that, when you read the book, my mother passed in child's birth. But again, I was close to my dad, but before my dad, my mother passed, I also was a child who needed certain attention of love and care, which was given to me also by my mother. So I had two parents who loved me and adored me and gave me an opportunity to flourish and grow. So it is very important that we set the standards in our home for our children. And why I'm talking about the youth, because Queen Mother is involved with the youth. New Future Foundation is something I created after I left the convent. But in the convent, I worked in prisons, and I worked in education, in nursery school, after school programs, be involved with training young people who will be involved with Catholicism or what we call Catholic schools, after school programs. But in the nursery school, the 3-year-olds was the most beautiful group of people I have ever met in my life. I'm still figuring out how I could do a book, a children's book about those experiences with children at the age of 3 or 2.5. Sometime they would get in the nursery school 2.5, but I would say from a 3-year-old to a 5-year-old in nursing school, the nursery, or kindergarten classes, some of them have. But my engaging taught me so much about children. But when I started my own foundation at NYU, New York University in New York, I wanted to see about issues of society and how I could engage and be involved with children. And from the age of 6 to 12, direct service, indirect service would be the junior high, and then the college students on the work study and different programs at the university. So I formulate and have a documentary film, which were done by film students at the Film and Television School and graduate students at New York University in Greenwich Village. And that's where Spike Lee, from my understanding, received his training as well. And with this documentary film, it tells the story of 10 years of the world that I wanted to live in. And how would I go about doing it? And so I did it in New York, which New York City is racially isolated based on pockets of zoning within New York. And I use every ethnicity pocket in New York City to start a concept, an idea of how do we deal with eliminating what we call drug addiction in the 60s, in the early 60s, coming out of a convent after spending 10 years in one and left alone, which I could have gone back based on exclusion. It's like being on sabbatical for a year after 10 years, and then you could go back, but I decide to stay out. But creating the New Future Foundation with young people from across New York City in most of the ethnic groups and bringing them together in a place called Greenwich Village was something to see. And I did it based on 10 years about racism. How do we eliminate racism amongst ourselves and the will of the people want to see it? Discrimination go away. It has something to do with us wanting it to happen. So I did my own design and study and watched youngsters for 10 years, and I documented it on film. So it's called New Future Foundation Documentary Film. And a great woman that I admire is in the film. Her name is, at that time, Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm, the first black woman to run for president of the United States. And while she was a congresswoman from Brooklyn, and I'm living in Harlem, and in Greenwich Village, I was able to recruit for her. And as you know, she was a great educator in the Congress and sat on committees around education, quality education. In spite of the fact, I would love to have been a politician like her, but she discouraged me from being a politician, so I end up being an educator. And in receiving my doctorate at Teachers College at Columbia University, and went on to Harvard and received another master's, and on to MIT of Understanding Science and Technology, and watching a space shuttle go up, a launching, landing on the same pad of the second black astronaut to go into space, Ron McNair. That was my godbrother. And so I had the opportunity to have had that experience. So Queen Mother just wanted to share a few little things about Queen Mother. So Queen Mother just now is going to close the conversation and just say to all, we all have a lot to reflect on in our own lives. And I always end by saying, give thanks. And Queen Mother, thank you for allowing me to just put a little points out there for us to look at and communicate with each other, and I thank you.
Well, Queen Mother, before you release the line, if you would please, tell us a little bit about what you're doing for the families that lost loved ones in that apartment fire there in New York. And if there's a website that some of our listening audience may want to send in donations to help support those families. Can you tell us how you're involved with that project, please?
I am involved, but not from the point of doing any collections around those families. My colleagues, which I will send you, Musa Drummond and some of the other colleagues, I call them my son, who had to move quickly to be engaged with the 17 families in New York, in the Bronx area, which we call Boogie Down the Bronx. And the hip-hop, and, you know, it comes out of that energy of Kool Herc and other well-known members of the hip-hop generation, godmothers and godfathers. It is not the first time that we have had a fire. We had a fire in 07 where there was the killing of one mother and nine children from Mali in their own home. And the government of Mali asked Queen Mother to give them kind of a little report, what is going on, and I did. And I ended up going home to the nation in 07 with the lives of those children and the mother, again, with condolences to a nation. And prior to that, in the 90s, you had Amadou Diallo shot 41 times out of the Bronx. And with that happening with Amadou, mother and father asked me to join them with Reverend Al Sharpton and others to take Amadou remains home. As a Muslim son of Africa, Guinea-Conakry. And then Nzungu was executed, killed by police in New York in the warehouse. And then you had, beyond that, now we just had the fire of 17 members. And with the 17 members, 8 children, and most of them came from Gambia, West Africa, and it was my duty as the Queen Mother to be there when the bodies arrived of those who went home, which was 4. And was able to be there to see the two little boys and the two little girls given to their grandparents, because the children are homeless now, and to bring condolences to the nation as the Queen Mother. That is one of my duties for the 55 million displaced Africans of the transatlantic ocean of the slave trade. So it is my duty when I'm called to be on assignments such as what I'm just coming back from, in a jet lag of doing so.
Wow.
but it is my duty to do so for all of us. And in saying that, what I did propose, I had the opportunity, and they introduced me at the inauguration that I was there amongst them for their election of the new president, President Barr, and 8 other heads of states of Africa in attendance to his inauguration, their new president of the Gambia and Republic of the Gambia. And they thanked me for bringing the family members home and bringing greetings to the nation and condolences to the nation. And you know that we have an African descendant mayor, the second black mayor we've had in New York, Eric Adams. So he's a son of ours. So it was my duty to do so. So Queen Mother goes on mission, and I had just returned from Mexico dealing with indigenous people, African people, relationship with Latin American countries, are now going toward Mother Africa because of African descendants are in, or indigenous people that are African or in Latin countries. So Mexico has taken the lead in the Senate, and I was asked to come to speak about the youth and the youth request, which I'm involved with, internship of young people at the United Nations. That's what Queen Mother do, with college-trained young people that are in school or other young people of leadership and have global quest in their portfolio of what they would like to do in life. And so in the recruitment for many years, I've been involved with that program, which is being strengthened every day, even during the pandemic, of being involved with the young people. But what I said to the First Lady, Mrs. Barros, while I was there, that there should be a memorial in memory what happened for immigrant children and their families in the United States, to have a first-class, state-of-the-art education institution, a school, but first-class, high-tech in the Gambia, such a beautiful country, and also for mothers and children, health care facility for mother and child.
Wow.
And to train young people in the way of understanding the skills they may already have and how we can harvest development of new skills. But you have a land base here. Teach them agriculture. Feed yourselves. Who's going to feed you? You can't be talking about China. China not interested in feeding you. You already seen that. Feed yourselves. So train your young people to feed themselves and stop looking somewhere else. We watch our babies drown in the sea of trying to get to Europe. So job opportunities for self, self-reliance. Of Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, which I studied him in Tanzania as a Fulbright scholar. Self-reliance. Do for self. Do for self. Depend on self. And we have New Future Foundation in the Gambia. And if we bring them out for education reasons, some of them, but vocational training is a must for many of the young people who may not want formal education, but informal education. And so this is what some of the things I proposed just recently being in the country. and having the opportunity to speak to the nation. And this is what I like to see facilitated through New Future. We have a young man, extremely bright, 19 years old, science and technology. The world is into crypto everywhere. They have to be involved with the chip. They have to understand what they have, and they have to mind their own stores at home. But we can still help to train them wherever they can get to receive their education, but they must return home at the end of the day, at least for 2 years, with the opportunity of staying wherever we send them for their education. Like, give you an idea of that. We have a young man who just left Ibu Sain, 19 years old. He's done everything Queen Mother has advised him to do from a child, and very promising for the nation. He is in Istanbul, Turkey. He's in school, started the language first, and then he will be studying science and technology because they have the ability to do so. And so as a promising young person, he said to me, Queen Mother, you know I'm interested in business, and I'm interested in agriculture. I said, yes, I know that. And now you're interested in science and technology. You can receive several degrees. That's what Queen Mother did. I don't know what I'm going to be doing with all of them, but it's good to work your mind left to right, right to left. So he's doing it, and he came up with this little proposal for an example to give you. Is dealing with selling chickens with a partner he has on the ground already to make his little money so he can finish his education in Istanbul, Turkey. So these are the kind of projects that I'm encouraging young people to come up with their little proposals, and then we assist them until they finish their education and they have to give back to the nation. So any young person that we've had outside the country, I know sometimes they think it's good to be in the U.S., and it's like you have to harvest them. It's good to come, but now it's time to go back, and if you want to go back and forth, you could do that too, but you have to give time to home. And this is what we're encouraging many of them that we brought out of the country 14 and 15 years ago. What are you going to do in the U.S.? The U.S. don't need you. You need to go home and do something. So that's the type of mobilization we are doing with New Future Foundation. And that means Queen Mother have to stay on the road and travel constantly and agitate everywhere until we get the job done with the young people participating. So I just wanted to share that with you as well. Of the projects we have set in motion, it's about a plan of action for young people. Boredom will set in. And in New Future Foundation, they have to at least speak three languages. How can you dare be a part of the UN and you don't know nothing about English and you don't know nothing about nothing but nothing? So we are about training them and teaching them discipline of which they can function. But you must train the child of which to go and how to go, which it is the extended family to make that happen. In any society, it's not unique to any of us, but it's our duty. And so intergenerational now I deal with the young people. Queen Mother now is 80 plus, so she told them they got the best part of Queen Mother, and they better run fast. So I tell them, run, 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 and let them know that God runs the world, and they just run around in it. So keep on running. That's what they're doing around Queen Mother. So that gives you some sense of our not-for-profit Queen Mother and what she's doing with the youth. And it is New Future Foundation is the name of our group, New Future Foundation, Inc. And so we set up for special projects of work would be done by the youth, and you see the fruit of their labor by activities that they're doing now so they could be some guidance with our young people. why they're in their studies or why they're doing implementation of their projects. And I am very pleased, but we must indeed continue to be a part of their development, sustainable and economically inclined for the nation, and their holistic approach for their communities from where they come from. And so that's what Queen Mother is doing with them.
Wonderful, wonderful. Do you have a moment for any Q&A, Queen Mother? Brother Isaac, do we have time for questions, answers?
Yes, by all means.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Go ahead, anyone have any questions?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much, Queen Mother, for joining us this evening. My name is Joyce Williams. I'm out of Oklahoma City, and I just want to, you know, you are a dynamic lady. I could listen to you talk all day, night, week, and still would have had enough soul food, so to speak. But what I would like to know, I'm about the Gambia. I'm happy that you guys, I know that you had made the conference of the World Conference of Mayors had been talking about taking that trip. Although we didn't realize at that time that it was going to be a sad occasion as well as a joyous occasion, but that's what they mean when they say joy and pain. But I was listening to you speak about your youth. Now, do you have that organization or children, say, in other parts of the country, the USA, eligible to join or become members or get information as to how they can, because vocational training is, I wish I would have known more about it when I was in school. Because vocational training is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. And it would be nice if some of these children here, and not just Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, all around me, could take advantage. So I would like to know, are there programs you're speaking about that have become more unified, or at least I believe so. But before we say that, I want to congratulate you guys for being there for the ceremony of the indoctrination of the new president of the Gambia. I just want to, and I thank you, and I'll listen for your answer.
Yes, thank you. What we do when we come into a community, wherever it may be, we first listen to the community and build around what they already are setting for themselves. Because it's going to be on the ground while you are engaging with the students from that particular neighborhood. And I think with us pulling our recall chapters or co-partners and what those students would like to do from a global perspective, but it's locally, which you act locally, but you think globally. The global piece where they would see that at the United Nations we talk about homelessness. And a brother for the first time that came to the UN that led as our key speaker was Chris, what's Chris' last name? You all probably know Chris too. Oh, wow. Chris, you heard of the movie called The Pursuit of Happiness, Gardner. Chris Gardner? The Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith?
Yes, yes. With
the movie? The movie?
Yes.
The Pursuit of Happiness?
Right.
Mm-hmm. About homelessness and this man on Wall Street? Well, he came to the UN in 2019 and was speaking about his experience about homelessness, and the UN had never talked about homelessness before. But at the 75th anniversary of the United Nations, we spoke about homelessness so that the young people in other member states who participated in that conference at the United Nations was able to talk about homelessness from the local level, but it affects all of us globally. It's not just in the United States, you know. And so this is how we work together with the United Nations based on human experiences. But you need to have your best practice is what we call it within the neighborhood where you live and what you see you want to be engaged with because you must have the ownership of it for our children because you know best what need to be done. I mean, we can talk about modifying or alteration like you do on a dress that you're a tailor of and someone else want that beautiful dress tailored for them, but you may have to alter it because of size, height, and other
right.
issues may come into play, you see? And so in saying that, it is the same with informal education or formal education. But the roadmap is there through the U.S. Education, Department of Education. You dust off the roadmap, and there's basic skills will never change, reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Right.
You're going to need those skills, don't care what direction you go into, whether you're going to computer science or you're talking about the chip world or you're talking about whatever else world you're going to talk about. Reading, writing, and arithmetic is important, the basic skills we teach our children, informal and informal and formal education. Those are the basics. So there is a roadmap that does exist from the Board of U.S. Board of Education. You have to dust it off. And it may be some measure, again, depends on what state you're living in. So if you want to be clear what are the mandates in education, quality education, we call it at the United Nations, with Rihanna, the Tainer, where they raised over $2 billion for quality education, including the girl child in Dakar, Senegal, with the president of Senegal, and France was the host countries that had UN conference on quality education. And we could give you leads how to look for what is quality education by the world standards of education.
Okay.
But you could start also with the Board of Education or the U.S. Department of Education in the United States as well.
Yes, ma'am. Cut the check.
And then we could talk about a best practice, you know, for a group of children, you get it to work for you. And as it works, you begin to include more aides and teachers and counselors and parents because the first teachers are parents.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You don't want to leave them out. You want to include them. And it doesn't
Absolutely.
Matter where they are on the map. They could be considered grade two, ever been exposed to education. Doesn't matter. In terms of formal education, if you bright, you bright. If you gifted, you gifted. That's not going to change whether
that's
you
right.
went to school full-time
yeah,
or didn't.
Right.
Now is a golden opportunity. Have your parents as also tutors, and eventually they become the teachers of what they may not know. They can learn very fast. Believe me, if they can run a household with 9 or 10 or 12 children, they definitely can get a little bit of mathematics, okay, from some little funny little books that we give them.
That's
and
right.
And we have to just explain to them what is algebra and how it really works, they do it long enough, they will get it. Believe me.
Yes.
Because it's nothing but rote learning. You know, if you practice long enough how to play the piano, you will learn if you hit the note long enough. And they say practice make perfect.
Yeah.
So it's the same with exercising your brains, your cells of your brain and your skill and your comprehension of understanding, which you already stand if you're running a household with a family. That's a given. You have to be bright to do that.
Right.
So I think that that's how we engage the parents in the learning process with their children without overshadowing them, but to include them in the learning process.
Okay.
That's my wrong learning concept.
Yes. So you build your own curriculum, or you create your own syllabus, is what Queen Mother's saying, from your community, from the ground up. And you're doing it anyway. You're doing it anyway.
Queen Mother, this is a Bilal Bynum with the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street. Thanks so much for coming on. I'm telling you, like Miss Wim just said out of Oklahoma, hearing you, so many things come to mind as to how much information we need from you, because we can see that you're a special type of educator. Queen Mother,
that's right.
I had a program on, and I'm going to introduce you to this person in just a second because I see they're with us. I had a program on just a few months ago, and we started an education department because of this program. And this is, I was informed by African-American teachers that when it comes to black educators in this country, there is only around 10% of the teachers in this country are African Americans. So with such a low percentage of African American teachers teaching in the public schools, how do we get a proper education to our kids? And especially after hearing your experience, and like I said before you go, I want to introduce you to our national education director out of Delaware, who is starting a national educational program. But first, my question is going back to how do we get proper education representation when there's only 10% of African-American teachers in the entire country. I'd like to start there.
Well, with Queen Mother, I really have not spent a lot of time in teaching because of what I do, but because of a woman, I think I mentioned her name is, at that time, Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm. Since I could not be a politician, I ended up being an educator. And in doing so, I wanted to understand the root of education, and I wanted to do it from an African-centric point of view. So as a Fulbright scholar, I studied in Tanzania and Nigeria, the two different countries, East and West, at two different levels as a Fulbrighter, looking at African traditional socialism and studying the first president, a teacher, math teacher, Mwalimu Julius Nyerere of Tanzania, and the first president of a country, Republic of Tanzania. I wanted to study him as a philosopher, which I had the opportunity to do, And then he had a land base. And then he became a politician. So they were setting up policies. Then with the land base, you have implementation. So you could do it. And the derivative for us as African descendants has the Kwanzaa celebration. Kwanzaa, coming from Karenga. And that's Mwalimu Julius Nyerere, middle name, Karenga, Dr. Karenga. And you know the language is Swahili. I call Kiswahili, but Hili, coming from Zanzibar. And so it's what we know, like Mama Septa, Clark. You know, the first, like the classroom she had in South Carolina, that one, you know, the one room classroom, Septa Clark, and how she was able to make do with nothing. But I think that we have to turn within and see what we have inside of us. As I stated, mothers are your first teachers. It's important that we educate our mothers, our fathers too, but let's just stay with the mama. Usually the mama is at the house, you know, baking the cake, and we're licking the pot pan with the sweet potato pie and the liquor from the collard greens. Okay? Our mothers and our grandmothers. So I think it's important that we need to look at education for differently. And that's why I went off to Africa to see what did education mean, continent of Mother Africa, and especially self-reliant education coming from Mwalimu Julius Nyerere. So my doctorate and a book has been written how I was able to get. For us who may not have a land base, but where we are in our homes, in the apartments where we live, that we can create this community to educate our children. And it's our duty to do so. So I think that we have enough borrowed information that we can do it. It's the will. You're saying you have a national group of educators are coming together. I think you need to find all those national groups to join us so we can create our own education, our needs, like everybody else is doing. Every group does that. I mean, you could have a child going to the public school all day long, but go to Mott Street, Nehoma, Gwaise, Mutyeminga, okay? They have their home school within their community beyond the society school that is set up for their children.
Mm-hmm.
A public school. So we could do the same. That's the model. And let the educators of the 10% assist us in shaping our curriculum design for our children.
Mm-hmm.
From kindergarten right to the 12th and on through college. Depends on the need of our community. How can our children be exposed to land, farming, and they know nothing about farming,
mm-hmm.
most of them. And you that's been on a farm, so happy to get off the farm to go to the big cities.
Yeah.
You know, they got to come to Harlem. You know, they got to Detroit. They got to go to Chicago and leave mm-hmm. the farm.
Yes.
Where are you going to feed yourself back at the farm? Not in New York and no grocery store. We don't have farms. I live on a farm, but I do live on a farm, which is no longer a farm, but Alexander Hamilton, you know, the one on the $10 bill, his mama was black from Nevis. I already claim as my ancestors, unless they're going to tell me something differently. coming from Nevis, I live on his 8th. And it's a farm. It was a farm. It's a historical landmark. It's national. I live on his estate in Harlem. So I am saying we got to, as they say, put your bucket down, which you have, on your, in your bucket, or how you can get some stuff in your bucket from the mud that is in the ground, the water, you know, the soil. How are you going to fill it up? That's a part of education. What do you have? As Adam Clayton Powell would say, what's in your hands?
Yeah.
So it's like really come from that school of thought. What do we have? How do we build from here? Learning processes to sustain our community where we are. And it can be done with best practices. And I would advise those educators, I would call on everyone that has been educated, and you could find us. You know, they have educational, grad school of education at most schools. As I went to Harvard, and then I wanted to go to Howard, but Howard never accepted me. So I had to do the best I can the way I look. Of the brown neck by Kenneth Clark and his wife Mamie Clark. Okay? The, you know, the doll, you know, that whole thing about the doll. So when they would see Queen Mother, she is the Figaro. And so with the opportunities between Howard and Harvard, that's where I was accepted. So I went on. Not my first choice. My first choice, I would love to have gone to Howard, but I was never accepted to Howard. Like at Harvard in the yard.
You know?
So let them expand. And also I went to Africa. Since I look like, they said, the people of Africa in the jungle, Tarzan and Jane, so I thought it was time for me to go check that out. And I started on the Nile. I went to the Nile of Egypt.
Yeah.
The black pharaoh that ruled, Queen Hatshepsut. I started with her as my ancestors in the Nile. So all I'm saying, learning takes place everywhere, but you have to tell your children, your children and children before they ever born in your womb to our mothers.
Because
that in their pregnancy, you start teaching that child in the womb the energy whence thou come from and finding their place. So it's with us. And I think that we can do it. Talk about a best practice with national organization that you're creating. And anything Queen Mother could do to be supportive, you know, to make it happen, Queen Mother will give you as much time as she can from where she is, just send you in different directions.
Well, Queen Mother, I'm so glad you said that. And with that said, I'd like to introduce you to our state director, and this is our educator director out of Delaware. Ms. Swan,
yes.
Are you with us?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
You've heard just the mother. I'm going to let you introduce yourself and the two of you sort of talk because I really would, I think this educational program and the information that we've received this evening, I mean, I beg that our kids could be educated by such professionals. So I'm going to turn it over to you two professionals and see how we can educate our community and especially our kids.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Queen Mother. And you've been very inspiring with providing us with so much inspiring information. Again, thank you so much. Yes, I am a retired teacher in Delaware. I spent 39 years, actually, if you count the years when we're having the maternity leaves, and of course they don't allow us women to have that, so it would be 40 years if I could count those precious years too, but 40 years of excellence, quite enjoyable in the English field is what I was doing, and that was from middle school through high school. Very rewarding, and even today I was hearing from my students thanking me for just giving them even more than what traditional education gives them, because in the classroom I made sure, regardless of what ethnicity was in there, they got a Black perspective on things. Well, actually, I am in the process of writing on Facebook what I call a flight into Black history, and I'm using Facebook as a way to present the book so that people who are reading it can have opportunity to get a 28-day profile on Black history. It begins, of course, with antiquity. We start about, I would say, 3 to 5,000 B.C., and then as the month progresses, I'm going to take them into the diaspora and, of course, the new world that we're in now. But right now, they're still in the motherland and learning much about what the motherland was like before the Middle Passage. One of the other things that I'm looking to do, along with what I just mentioned, is time is of the essence. And because of that, even though we eventually want to organize educational committees who will work diligently towards getting a Black history curriculum in our schools, that is going to take much time, and it's going to have much conflict with it because so many are fighting against the just exposure of what our Black history must say in about American history. And of course, because of that, and majority whites who are, not all of them, but the ones who are against having our history taught, because their children, as they say, are going to be going through some sort of horrific changes and seeing what they have done to Black people, they don't want it taught. Well, that's their problem and not ours. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. You're Latinas, you're Asians, you're Native Americans, you're African Americans who are also from the motherland and the Caribbean, who know quite a bit of our history. They are supplementing the traditional education with African American and African history. And that's what we have to do. We don't have time to, and not saying that they can go ahead with their curriculum planning. Of course they can, but we all know it's going to be a lot of conflict, and that's going to take at least years for people to come to agreement. We don't have years to waste, so our work has to be immediate. And so what I'm doing with the work that I have on Facebook, and of course turning that into booklet form, but mainly I want to go into, I don't care if it's YouTube or some other medium, I want to make sure that when the children come home from traditional education, they can turn to a channel, they can turn to YouTube, they can turn to whatever medium that I put this in to say, just as children go to their local communities, in the Latina community and the other Asian communities and Jewish communities, they have their buildings where they go and learn about themselves. Our children can just push a switch on their televisions and get their education, and we become one community because we don't have to build or buy these different buildings, and our children run to each one to find out what they're going to know about themselves. One push of a button nationally, and all children will be learning the same thing at the same time to supplement the education that they're getting, you know, on a regular traditional basis. We can do that immediately. Nobody can stop us from doing it. We don't need to have time spent trying to get curriculum together with many, many people coming together for it. That can be done, but we need immediacy while that is being done. The other thing is there is no way the 90% of teachers in the present schools will ever be qualified to teach true Black history. It would take them years just to go to school to learn it. And so we can't put that on a teacher. They have enough to do to teach regular math and science and English. Let them do their thing with that. We have to make sure those of us who are the griots, those of griots, as I think is correct pronunciation, the gurus of Black history, to teach Black history, because otherwise you're going to have our children learning about 10, if that many, Black people, and it's going to be called Black history. And we're going to lose the vast amount of knowledge that they need to know from the beginning of humans, which started with Black people, to where we are now and where we are going to progress. Only the masters of that knowledge should be given that opportunity, because if you say teachers have to teach Black history, it's not going to happen. They haven't had the experience. They do not have the knowledge. So let them stay in their lane, and we will take our lane, because we are the ones who know this history, and we can't put it in the hands of people who will mess it up. So, yes, you and I will continue to talk, and I will share with you the information I have here. By the way, because I am a Christian, keep in mind that if you go on the Facebook Flight into Black History using the Bible, I am showing how, just for this presentation on Facebook, people do not know that the Bible is Black history. Geneticists, archaeologists, anthropologists, I mean, just name all the people who know about antiquity, they have already told the world. We all, no matter what ethnic group you are, no matter what nationality you are from one Black man and Black woman. That's a known thing. It's not taught. But let us find the commonality of who we are. We are all Black. Well, the beauty of that is I let my kids know when they walk into my classroom, well, I'm out of the classroom now, but I let them know we're all Black. And so it was very interesting how in the hallway, when I would stand out in the hallway to let the kids pass through from class to class, kids who didn't even know me would say, "Mrs. Swan, we're all Black, aren't we?" I said, "Right on, you got it, sweetheart." And they loved it, because it gave them something to talk about. It gave them something to think about. Now, moving above and beyond that, they then learned that racism is a result of putting an S on the word race. There is no such thing as races. And once the kids understood that there was no such thing and there's only one race, that gave them a basis of understanding. So where do we come from? And that's how we've got to deal. Sure, it's going to be a fright and a disappointment and backlash. Do we care? Truth is truth. We all come from one singular male and female. And from that, they had the genetic capability of presenting to the world every kind of human being that walks the face of the earth. Might as well get used to it, because that's a fact. Your genetic makeup, your DNA proves it. It's already been proven. We're all from one African tribe from thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. They know it. It's in the DNA. But get used to it. For those who don't want to get used to it, get used to it. It's a fact. And from that basis, what are we doing with our humanity? What are we doing with it? And, of course, that's where we teach some people to make themselves superior, hid the truth. And now it's our responsibility, griots and gurus, to tell the truth. And that is why they do not want it in the schools. This critical race theory thing is all about fear. Fear that the truth will come out. But what did Revelation say? It's going to be vomited out anyway. Excuse my expression.
Okay.
So let's clean up, because it's going to come out. We've got a lot to share, Queen Mother, but that's where I am right now, and it's exciting, and I thank God that he's brought us to this point where we now will let the world know who they are by knowing who we are.
Okay, thanks so much, Miss Wayne. If you'd like to reply, Miss Queen Mother, you may. I know there's quite a few others who want to get to you, but I'll give you a chance to reply if you like.
I would say right on and take the leadership. You're an educator. You're seasoned at what you're saying to Queen Mother. Continue to educate the children. That is the priority. Educate them at all costs. Just educate them. And that is the group anyway.
Okay.
So I will continue to do that. Thank you for sharing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank both of you, because, again, we have to tell our own story. Others in this world can tell our stories. We have to do it. So I look forward to you educators taking on your professional responsibilities. We're going to move right on. Queen Mother, we're going to move on. Now, I heard you talk about land, agriculture, feeding ourselves, and business. I want to now move on, and one of our other directors, Brother Harris, Brother Sam Harris, are you with us? Brother Harris, Brother Sam Harris out of a Florida, are you with us? Okay. I was hoping he would be on. As you know, Queen Mother, we are a business organization. That's what identifying business and stimulating business activities in our communities, and even becoming vested jointly to create new businesses. That's what we are just normally, and this is what we're talking about all the time, and that is owning your own. And one of the biggest businesses that we've been talking about is farming. And I heard you talk, and I've always been curious because I know here in the United States we have abandoned, like I said, most of our farms. A lot of the lands that we did own, we've sold out to someone because, like you said, we moved off the farm and moved into the cities, and we sort of got away from that very valuable way of life. And so with that said, we're realizing now that a farming is one of our biggest priorities, because you must own land. And so with that said, is there any way as to where African Americans can become vested, let's say, with many of your African travelers, as to where maybe we could do farming and the produces of farming in many of the parts of the countries where you have traveled? Is there a way as to where maybe our farming expertise could be done in a country such as some parts of Africa, and we can become a business vested by the food that we'll be growing and hopefully sharing with different parts of the world? Queen Mother.
Yes, the time is now. As you know, that there's others going into Africa and looking at and dealing with the natural resources. And so the land is very fertile. I'm just coming back from the Gambia, as I said. Very fertile land. I mean, if you just, you know, it's just so beautiful. I mean, everything that drops into the earth or into the soil, it just sprang up. It happens.
Excellent.
And so all over Africa, you're having that. And I think that it's time now for African descendants to mobilize and see where you would like to go to start the journey of investing in farmland. And, you know, looking at the map quickly, because everybody's on Zoom today, of how you'd be interested in your skill bank that you have already and investing in Mother Africa. It exists. The land is there.
Queen Mother, with that said, I'm really going to ask you to become a part, work with the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, because, again, you could be of a bigger a great assistance, and hopefully your assistance can help us to become very vested with our dollars and creating especially this farmland as to where we could start talking about feeding ourselves. So I hope this program tonight, this two-hour program, is not an end to you. We need your intellect and we need your expertise. So thanks so much, and I'm going to open the mics up.
Yes,
we have. I can tell you, Sister Mother, you have listeners from at least, I'm looking at the different area codes. I can tell you right now, we got about 9 different states that are listening to you as we speak. So I am, and everyone who's called in, of course, our internet, we can't speak to directly, but those of you who are on the phone, your mics are open. You're able to speak right at this moment the same way I'm speaking to Queen Mother. The mics are open as to where you can do the same. So listeners, we welcome your questions to Queen Mother.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Yes, ma'am. This is Sister Rahima Rahim in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thanks for taking my call, Brother Aziz. I met you, Queen Mother. Yes, sir. I met you, Queen Mother Blakely, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was the one who did the poem. And everything you all are saying is just absolutely wonderful. And I can tell by the other sister's comments that she already knows that trying to get somebody else to do what we should be doing as far as teaching our children is almost like impossible. They just cannot catch up. When the race riots started in '68 and the people left, the white folks left, I wonder, where did these children go? They took them away from a lot of the schools. Where did they go? They went to Christian education. They went into the church. The church opened their doors and taught their children. We have all these churches in our communities. The strongest stronghold in our communities is the church. We need to put pressure on our churches to open up the doors so the children can walk the school like they used to walk the school and be taught by us. Now, there are 3 things I want to quickly, I want to give everybody else a chance, but 3 things I heard today the cryptocurrency, you know, they swore that, you know, you couldn't get into it and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't make notes of it because I was just trying to run through. But husband and wife got into it and have billions of dollars that they have pulled from the cryptocurrency, and now they're trying to, as a matter of fact, they were found guilty, and they're trying to, they don't know whose cryptocurrency it was and blah, blah, blah. But we need to do what both of these sisters are saying. We need to concentrate on Africa. But Africa needs to understand, the children need to understand. See, they want to get to America. But when Minister Farrakhan went over there, he had somebody waiting on him who had a PhD degree. You know, the fact of the matter is, and you can it's documented, that these folk are not going to let us get on our feet. They know if we have equal opportunity with them, we're going to run over them. But we're not aggressive like they are. You know, we would be kind, we would share, and this and that. That's not in their nature to do that. They are afraid that we're going to take over. I saw a documentary where this European was talking to some other Europeans, and he said, "We have to keep the Africans where they are, because if you let them have more freedom, your lifestyle that you have lived will change as you know it. You'll never see that lifestyle again." They already know. Thomas Jefferson said it himself, "I fear," you know, and I'm paraphrasing, "I fear that once justice rears its head," and somebody can probably help me with this, "we're going to be in trouble." I got to find it because it's a beautiful statement that he made. In other words, they know that they are not have not been fair, and that justice, when it comes, they're going to be in trouble. But in the meantime, like the sister said, we have to do what we have to do. You know, when I get to, one more thing, when I get to an application and it wants race, I put down, when it says other, I put down human, because it goes back to what the sister said. We're all one race. So when they say race, I put down human. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
Our mics are open, so we welcome your comments.
Yes, sir. Good evening again. This is Joyce Williams out of Oklahoma City. And I was wanting to know, Queen Mother, how can we become a part, in terms of membership with the World Conference of Mayors? And I know there were different levels, but if you could share with the New Africa Business Association and Black Wall Street, Black Belt Wall Street, how can we merge or become affiliated with the organization?
Yes, you can by sending a notice. He's in the brother, the leader of the group is Mayor Johnny Ford.
Okay.
Mayor Johnny Ford is in Tuskegee, Alabama. And then what we could do, I don't have it right in front of me, but hold on 1 minute because they just finished their conference, which I did participate. Oh, give me 1 moment. Let me give you just bear with me. The name of the group is called the World Conference of Mayors, Inc.
World Conference
of Mayors.
Okay.
Mayors, MAYORS, Inc.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find the sister, their telephone number, and the national, what is the other group called?
Black Settlements also.
Yes, it is. It is also called Historical Black Towns and Settlement.
Uh-huh, okay.
All right. Let me give you. I'm looking for the number on a piece of paper here. The person who would know them right offhand. Let me give you Chairman Daniels. If you haven't heard of him, he's doing some special work for the group right now. His number is 626-977. 5282.
Okay, Cameron.
And he'll probably be able to give you, I thought I had her number right at hand. Oh, dear. This is a number here. They got Tuskegee, Alabama. Let me give you this office number, 334-226-1125.
Okay. Very good.
334-226-1125.
Okay.
And then there's a cell number, maybe Mr. Johnny Ford, Mayor Johnny Ford number. Let me give it to you. This number is 334-487-0174.
Mayor Johnny Ford. Okay.
Yes, I think that's Mayor Johnny Ford number. I think.
Okay, that's the cell number. I'm looking by his name.
Okay, I think it's a cell number.
Okay,
it's
that's
on
fine.
His paper. It doesn't have anyone name next to it, but I believe that's his number.
Okay.
And you can
thank
let
you very
know
much,
that
ma'am.
Queen Mother. Yeah, Queen Mother gave you the number to call them.
I surely will give
you instructions of what to do. Yes,
I'm gonna tell
them
to cut the check. I'm gonna tell them to cut the check, Queen Mother.
Yes, cut the check. Joe Biden, cut the check. Him and Kamala Harris, just check.
Also, Queen Mother, there's been some conversation in some of our shows, and it's been brought to our attention that the Black Caucus, well, first of all, it started with the John Lewis voting bill going into a filibuster, and not the floor didn't even take a vote on it. But at the same time, that same week, it was also reported that there was 7 states that accepted fraudulent ballots, and the governor signed off on these fraudulent ballots knowing that they was fake. But so again, along with that, in the same week that we found that news out, is the same week that the John Lewis voting bill went to a filibuster. And so again, the question came up as to where is the NAACP, where is the Black Caucus, where is, I suppose, everyone asking, where is our voters' representation and who is fighting for us? One of the things that I replied, because again, I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not up on the hill. I'm not working as a liaison, but I do know that I think that the Black Caucus and I'm gonna stay with the Black Caucus. I think that they're not for sure what kind of power is behind that they have behind them. And I think that we've been talking about making a show to the Black Caucus and inviting many of our members around the country to come to Washington, D.C., where we can more or less maybe have a meeting with with the caucus and present our strength, let them know that as members we are here to support them, but at the same time, it would be nice to know what they are trying to do to support us, because when it comes to our voting rights, it's not a question of we can't have our voting rights. You know, I am a war veteran, and my co-host is a war veteran, and there are many war veterans out here. We fought for those rights, and that is something that we won't be denied. I'm not going to mention the word. We will continue to fight, because I don't want to mention too much about fighting. But I do want to, this country must realize that when it comes to voting, we will not be set back 50 years. And the 1965 Voting Act that I went through as a young man, and I know many, and especially we got this John Lewis Jubilee March coming up next month, where we'll be marching again in Selma. I just want to know, how can we show our support, and at the same time to those that we have voted and those that we expect to be working in legislation fighting our battles. You have any comments on our efforts, Mother Queen?
I'd say that this is your right. It's a human right issue. You have a right to vote beyond civil rights. You have it as a right to do so, and I'm in agreement with you. I think that asking for your congressperson to meet with your caucus or your committee around the issues and when the best time to be in Washington, D.C. We know because of the coronavirus, the pandemic, and it's been more like social distancing. But there must be a way that you could be able to have a conversation on the phone with your representatives, and especially the representative that's dealing with Veterans Administration. You know, that those are the ones that I would, you know, call out to first. And I think I mentioned Chairman Herschel Daniels' name. I know he's been talking about the veterans and his conversation also. And he's involved with the World Conference of Mayors as well. So you could ask for him. I thought I might have had his number. Hold on 1 minute. Let me see. Do I have his number? Hold on.
He's a very powerful man, guys.
His number is Herschel Daniels, Chairman Herschel Daniels, 626-477-5282. And you can let them know that Queen Mother gave you his number. I know he's dealing with veterans.
And the last one about
and
Queen Mother.
Let me give you the number again. His number is 626-977-5282. Herschel Daniels.
Great.
Or they call him Chairman Daniels. Okay. And he's given more responsibility for the World Conference of Mayors also.
Okay.
Very good. Thank
around
you.
Around the work that he's doing, yes. But you have every right. This is a human rights issue, as I would say, beyond civil rights. And the last time I was there, Mama Imelda Boynton, and after she became an ancestor, I was there for her funeral from Tuskegee. And, you know, they did the motorcade from Tuskegee Chapel, the university, and back to Selma, and going across the Pettus Bridge. And so that's the last time I saw John Lewis, was at her homegoing. And that was Imelda Boynton, who lived to be, I think, 110.
Wow.
I think she lived to be 110.
Wow. Goodness.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, she in the movement as a woman. And that's, if you remember, and they put her in the ambulance for dead, threw her in the ambulance as one of the women. So everybody knows her. And on that day, I became an honorary, which has been very moving for me, because for about 5 to 6 years, I spent quality time going to Selma just to spend time with her as an elder woman. And then the first time that the Joe Biden, now the president, he was the vice president. That was the first time he was ever in Selma at their 48th anniversary. And then Barack Obama came for the 50th anniversary. But that was his first time in Selma. That was Joe Biden at the time of being the vice president. And at her homegoing, after Obama had been there, and then Mama made her transition after that, and you would see her in the wheelchair next to Barack Obama going across the Pettus Bridge. That's Mama Imelda Boynton in Tuskegee and Selma. And it was such a moving experience for me at that time of seeing John Lewis, as I stated, at her life going home. And that's the time they gave me the medal of the foot soldiers, you know, those who have crossed the bridge many times. And a moving experience of being in Selma. Yes, so I would definitely take it up as soon as possible. I would, you know, be in contact and find out who will be coming to Selma, because I'm sure that quite a few folks are going to show up to Selma this year.
And Sister Queen Mother, no doubt, I know myself, I'm planning on driving to Selma. I've never been there before, but I expect to be there in March this year. And I'm wondering if some of the planning that we're talking about on the radio this evening, will there be some sort of forum that we will be able to have while we are there, so we will be able to meet and maybe do some of the plannings that we're talking about doing, such as the Black Caucus or some of the other plans that we may have. Will we be able to hold any kind of formal meeting or a gathering while we're in Selma for the march?
I think you would probably have to get in touch with the organizers. Mother Imelda Boynton Robinson, her son has passed away now too, which he was very engaged, involved as an attorney in the area. But you have our dearly beloved sister, her and her husband, that is in charge of the program every year. Oh, everybody knows them. Oh, my. You probably know exactly who I'm thinking of. My. It's easy to find their committee. Sister Rose. I think Sister Rose is her name. Oh, my goodness. I'm just thinking out of the box. But they're in charge. They usually are well organized during the march. And then I think the last 2 years they had it on Zoom. You know.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
The Selma celebration. And the sister and her husband, they are attorneys, very active. Rosa's, is her last name Sanders? Is it Rosa Sanders, her last name? When I can get the name, I would give it to our dearly beloved sister, Stone.
Yes.
I would find the name for you. But I would advise you to contact them as quickly as possible. They're well organized.
Excellent. We would definitely do so. And before we got about less than 10 minutes before our show will end. I want to see if I want to see if our director, one of our directors who have our Thursday night show, Black Wall Street, and this is our Thursday night show, Miss Reese. Miss Reese, are you with us?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Good. Miss Reese, again, this is one of our directors. She's doing a documentary on Black Wall Street and Black Belt Wall Street. Miss Reese, any comments you'd like to make or inform those to come on your tonight show so we can keep everyone informed on Black Belt Wall Street and Black Wall Street?
Hello, everybody. My name is Karen Reese. I live in DeSoto, Texas. I am currently doing the documentary called From the People, For the People, based out of the Tulsa 1921 race massacre. It is the people of the community that we interviewed, and their voices are going to be heard. And this premiere is going to be February the 27th, the last Sunday for Black History in Tulsa at the Greenwood Culture Center, starting at 6 o'clock. So all you people that I heard on this call that are from Oklahoma and Tulsa, I invite you out personally to come out and help me support this. It is on my heart, so heart dear, to bring this to the community, because most people who come into that community and put on film, they only interview 3 or 4 people. They don't go to the community and bring the voices of the community, and that is my desire, is to listen to the people who was born there, who was raised there, who was grew up there after the race riot, and you know, and what their life was about after that massacre. So I just want to invite you. I ask you guys to support me. Tell people about it. After I finish this one, Mr. Bynum and Mr. Sam Harris told me about Black Belt Wall Street, and I'm like, what is Black Belt Wall Street? You know, I'm 55 years old, and I didn't even know anything about it. And so they was like, that story needs to be told. And I said, well, that's a whole new movie. So when I finish this one, if anybody wants to jump aboard and help me tell that story, then we can tell that story. But I first got to get this one done. So, but also on Thursday, Mr. Bynum and whoever else would like to be on the live on Facebook, we use a platform called StreamYard, and when we go live in several locations. We go live on Facebook, we can go live on YouTube, we can go live on people's pages all at the same time. And so we'll be doing that tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central Time. And so I just need you guys to let me know who would like to be a part of that panel on tomorrow. Send me your email or send it to Mr. Bynum, and he'll send it to me, and I'll send you the invite out. And so we're going to be talking about the John Lewis voters' right, and we'll be talking about the march, letting people know about what's going to happen. And so that's what it's all about, getting the information out there, talking about it. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. I think Queen Mother, I think I might have saw you in Tulsa at the 100-year anniversary. I'm not sure if that was you. You was at the Holiday Inn Hotel, and I passed you in the elevator. But if it's not you, then okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
It was me. Queen Mother was at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. With the fruit of Islam protecting Queen Mother going in and coming out. Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Beautiful. Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
Queen Mother, I also wanted to introduce one of our other directors, Director Woods. Director Woods, are you with us? Queen Woods, are you with us? Director Woods. Okay, doesn't sound like she's with us this evening. I wanted to definitely get her input. But we got about 2 or 3 more minutes. Our mics are open. Any comments that we have for our dear Queen Mother. We welcome your comments.
Well, Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
I just wanted to give my information to the sister right now, but tomorrow, before tomorrow comes, because tomorrow I might have forgotten, to be a part of that conference that she's going to have at the Greenville Cultural Center. I'll just give you my phone number. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am. I will write it down.
Okay, Raheem, R-A-H-E-E-M, Sister Raheem, 918-814-2034.
2034.
And I'd like to thank the sisters for, and Queen Mother Brakely for being with us this evening.
Indeed. And Queen Mother, let me make certain I got this correct. Did you say we can contact you at the New Future Foundation?
Yes.
.com or .org?
Or why don't you do it this way, which would make it for me, is to do it at where it gets to me. It's newfuturephotos@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yeah, that, unless it's dealing directly with the United Nations. Then the other one is .org, but it's about the UN. But this one gets directly to Queen Mother faster by the young people. And that's New Future Photos, that's PHOTOS, at gmail.com.
Okay. Well, let me say the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, it was our pleasure, sister, for 2 hours. I don't remember being this informed by anyone in such a long time. The New Africa Business Association, let us just give you guys some of our information in case you need to get in touch with us, so we can get in touch with Queen Mother or anyone else that you would like to get in touch with. We are the New Africa Business Association. You can reach us at the New Africa Business Association. .com Washington, D.C. New Africa Business Association. .com Washington, D.C. Or you can go to our email, New Africa Business Association at gmail.com. New Africa Business Association at gmail.com. Or you can NABASSC at gmail.com. And our number here is 301-234-9090 or 202-903-7278. Brother Aziz, any comments that you would like to make before we close out? And again, I like to say again, Queen Mother, I can't tell you how much of a pleasure it was, and I do hope that you continue to be associated with us. We look forward to supporting whatever you do, and, of course, we look forward to your support with us also. Thanks so much for coming on the show. Brother Aziz.
Thanks.
Thank you, Brother Bilal.
Okay, Brother Aziz. Okay, look like you... You must have stepped out for a second, but
I'm here, Brother Bilal. I didn't know I was on mute. I want to thank Queen Mother for coming on and sharing all that information with us. And also, I'd like to know if in the future she'd come back and give us some ideas of some nice business prospects or some business that we may could get involved in Africa. Because I found it in the past, Brother Bilal and I have been to some conferences with brothers, and we find it hard to do business with Africans. It's like we get to a certain point with them, and they're afraid to do business. And we could definitely get products and things from that they want to get from America at a much better cost than the Caucasians are charging my brothers and sisters. So I just wanted to put that out there, Queen Mother. And if you have time to come back on again and share some things that we might be able to do and do in business with Africa, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, I will.
knows no day or night. Which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend? And share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers?